Hey everybody, welcome to Cocktails with Kia and Friends. It is season 7, episode 5, and tonight we are discussing the Passport Bros movement. And tonight we have our special male guest, Big Brother Sean. Say hello, Sean.
Hi everybody, nice to meet you all.
All right. And, you know, of course, we have our lovely co-host here. I'm the main host, Kia, but then we have our beautiful Tutu.
Hey, everybody. Hey.
We have our Shay.
Hey, what up?
And then April, baby.
What's good, peeps?
All right. So let's go ahead and first begin with, did you grab our amazing cocktail recipe book? It is called Cocktails with Kia and Friends Presents Cocktails and Conversations, 50 unique custom drink recipes collected from inspired episodes from Cocktails with Kia and Friends podcast. Like over the past like 3 to 4 years, you guys, like it's really amazing. It's available on Amazon. Our book launch and cocktail party is actually coming up November 4th in Broward County, Florida. We can't wait to host and see you guys there. All right. And going right into the conversation for tonight, the Passport Bros. Does anyone recall when this social media frenzy about the Passport Bros actually started? Because I feel like it's kind of old news, but then they turned it new. I'll say post-pandemic.
I think that sounds about right. I would say like it became a thing like in the middle towards the end of pandemic when the outside opened up again, pretty much, for travel.
Oh, yeah. I can see that happening. Like... Okay.
Yeah, it seems about right.
Sean.
Yes.
Sir. Are you able to at least like let us know, like can you give us a little like synopsis of what Passport Bros is?
I'd say it's the idea that modern Western countries do not produce a society that is, how do I put this, encouraging to the idea of the average person, just the average guy getting a family and pushing forward with that family. Whether it be socioeconomically, whether it be financially, the odds are stacked against you here. So in order to maximize your ability and maximize your assets and maximize how far you can go, you take yourself to another country where the culture encourages something else.
That's kind of what I took from it. I also hear the other narrative that it's just men going on trips to sleep with women like out of the country.
There's definitely
it's a lot. I mean, that comes with it, but is that like, but the foundation is mainly, is it like the foundation of the idea of Passport Bros is to seek like a spouse outside of
that's correct. Understanding of it. I'll give it, this is not a new thing. I think it's just been popularized at this point because of social media.
Oh, yeah.
But I had friends who were military friends and they would go out east and they'd go to Germany and they go to Vietnam and they go to Japan and they would come back and say, yeah, the culture is different, the amount of respect you get is different, the way you're treated as a man, quote unquote, is different. Now, they're seeing all the benefits, not necessarily any of the detriments. But in their mind, whenever I spoke to them, they were like, yeah, man, if I could live in Japan, I'd live in Japan. I had one friend of mine from my old church, he was obsessed. He was like, yeah, I get treated so much differently. The women are always this, and this. I don't think that you can separate the quote-unquote sex tourism from the other aspects of it. I think it's all this like muddy mess where you do have people who go over there to date, quote unquote,
Ooh.
and to experience something exotic. And then you have people who are going because they feel like they've been, and I don't want to use this term because it makes it like it's kind of banal, but they've been priced out of the market. Like the average teacher makes 40 grand. The average paramedic makes 50. The average police officer makes 50, 67. Women have moved up on the intellectual ladder in terms of socioeconomic status. But a lot of the jobs that require a lot of physical labor are still capped. And most of those are occupied by a lot of men. And so the quote unquote invisible men who aren't 6 foot with a six figure income and all this other stuff that's been popularized, on Instagram and whatever, feel like they don't have a shot. So there's this romanticized idea that somewhere over the rainbow, my chosen life could be attained because my dollar, $50,000 isn't enough here, but it might be in
I'm
the
a king in
Philippines
Panama. Yeah, sorry.
or Panama or
I don't.
Colombia or wherever.
I'm just saying a good country.
Yeah, you're correct.
Wow.
There's the idea and the romanticized idea, and then there's the reality,
Right.
which is
A body by that
it's
country.
just a lower market. $100,000 here is 50,000 over there, but in certain places you have a stronger cultural impetus to stay together. So here the perception is that for most regular guys, and I go to, like, if I'm at the gym or we're playing ball or I'm just talking to people at work, younger guys are like, you're asking me to take to sign a contract where the chance that I will win, quote unquote, is very low. That's the perception. Even if it's not necessarily, it could be or be not necessarily the truth, but a lot of this is the perception, which is to say, me signing over my rights to somebody else in a system that is incentivized to take from me as much as possible. The better play is to not play. The passport bros are just like a systemic, is it they're a symptom of a lot of younger guys, especially because I'm in my 40s, so I kind of touch both sides. Saying, nah, I'm good. I'm not, I'll go date, but I'm not gonna get anybody pregnant. I'm not gonna get involved too much. I'm not taking care of anybody else's stuff. I'm chilling. And when I get to 40 and I'm like in a position where I can move to wherever I feel I'll have the best chance to maintain my lifestyle, I will.
How did we get here?
Interesting. Right. I was just about to say, how did we get here? Because now that I'm hearing a different perspective, because obviously, we see like a lot of things on social media, and like the first things you see, obviously, is like, people present it as something negative, and we make fun of it, we
Like
talk about,
frivolous
yeah,
and
like
like,
just
yeah.
like people are being carefree, they're going over there, they're just, into the sexual, and after they're
Like
done,
people
like,
do
playing with a bunch of
that.
people's daughters, they come back. Like, that's just what.
That's what I thought
Oh,
they
I
did
guess I thought
anyway.
they did.
So on the official passportbros.com website,
Oh,
they
there's a.
actually, yes, there is. There's an official Passport
There's a
Bros
lot of networking.
website. But why?
And they have like, no, because they're on there, they actually have petitions about like men and their abilities or lack thereof, petitioning for their rights now, da da da.
Oh wow.
So in their definition, because they have a very proficient definition. So part of the definition, it states the passport bro mindset emerges from a range of concerns about modern Western dating and marriage culture, which is what Sean alluded to.
Yes.
Among these concerns, one of the primary grievances is the perception that many Western women exhibit behaviors that are argumentative, confrontational, highly manipulative, that part is underlined, and exhibit traits often associated with masculinity. Among the many traits they have started to display are abrasive conduct, combative attitudes, and an overt emphasis on anti-male feminist philosophy and combative individualism to the detriment of traditional gender roles. These behaviors, in the eyes of passport bros, are seen as incompatible with harmonious relationships and are believed to contribute to the breakdown of connections between men and women in the Western dating scene.
Wow.
Wow, this is a bigger problem than I thought.
It really is.
This is really, really like a serious issue going. There's a way I'm looking at,
because the we are not the majority of women, right? For the most part, like, we're very calm. Mm-hmm. Even for myself,
we're anomalies. I know.
You know, kind of bred to be a little bit more on the masculine side. I've always kind of felt myself to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
But no. I reckon. Shut up, Sean.
You're balanced, Shay.
You know, yes. I have had to learn that, right? I've had to learn how to do those things because I was raised being the only girl, how to do so many other things that really the average woman may not have had to do, right? Mm-hmm. Because I'm sandwiched in between two boys.
Correct.
So
my job was to make sure she was strong, not that she was.
Story of my life, Shay.
Right. So the strength that possibly,
not that you were masculine, you were raised to just have a strong personality.
Well, right. That kind of mean I kind of agree with her.
The strength goes for everybody. Like, it just, I didn't know how to just
emote.
Yeah. I taught her how to be strong the way I knew how to be strong.
Right.
As opposed to the way,
like a boy.
Exactly. As opposed to the way a woman can be. A strong woman is frightening without being aggressive or intimidating.
Got it. Okay.
But I take the aggressive and intimidating part. So
yes.
I had to, dang, you had to agree, dog.
I'm like, when was she ever aggressive? Maybe you corrected that really early, honey, because
But I'm not dating you.
Oh, and dating.
I guess when it comes to partnership.
When it comes to partnership, okay, right. You know so what? The stories you tell me.
Yeah.
The stories you tell me, absolutely. Yeah.
Right. So so when it comes to partnership, but those are things I've had to learn. One, I've had to realize that they were an issue because I'm not a man. And even though I have been raised to be independent, it's very good to be able to stand up on my own 2 feet, but it makes it very difficult when I do have a man who wants to do the things and I don't allow him because I've always done it. So allowing the feminine side and the more softer side and learning to submit to something that gives me something to submit to are all things I had to introspectively learn. Granted, I have a brother who is very wise. He will shut me down. And he has a way of speaking to me and correcting me. Like, you tripping, you need to stop, blah, 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 yada, yada. But I am a minority. We are a minority. We're not problematic. We're not loud and combative. We're not argumentative. We're not all of those things, more so in a relationship. And I think that's what you see on social media. These women who are raying to their partners, thinking that that's okay. And a lot of it is from trauma. A lot of it is from what they have seen. A lot of it has been what they grew up in, thinking that it was okay. Thinking that it's okay to belittle and be condescending to your partner, trying to get them to do what you want them to do. So it's definitely... Mm-hmm. been a learning thing for myself, and even me being in a relationship, my partner is quiet. I'm the loud one between the two of us. he's quiet. I've had to realize how to effectively communicate with him. I've had to shut up when I really want to bark because I feel like you're not listening to me. You know what I mean? Choosing to learn your partner will also create a lot more gentleness and meekness. And for me, you know, I'm always going to bring faith into it. It's the fruit of the spirit.
Yeah.
Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, all of those things that you need in relationships, whether romantic or platonic, with your homegirls, with your homies, whatever. Those are things that we have to choose to learn. Unfortunately, from what this is saying, the men are coming across women who also think that they're men.
Wow.
With vaginas.
So what's okay. So I have a question. Mm-hmm. With the passport bros going to all these other countries and seeking, you know, women who are raised in a different culture and who they find more respect from, who are more humble, is the goal ever to bring these women back to the Western world, or are they just like going to live in those countries permanently?
So what you have now is basically the result of the last 30 years of breakdown in relationships, not only between Black women and Black men, but men and women in particular, where you would have had people who would have brought their women back, believing that the woman was independent of the culture.
Mm.
But now, especially in the last 5 years, and this is not like, I think it's easier to understand it if you place it in the framework of everything else that's going on, because it's, like I said, it's a symptom. And it's not necessarily a symptom of a problem as much as a symptom of the result of what's happened, which is the same driving force that's pushing people towards people like Andrew Tate. Same driving force that's pushing the MGTOW movement and the red pill movement and all that stuff, which is the idea of that metric, which is men will risk peace for pleasure only to a point.
Wow.
So if I have to, what's happening now is that men are saying, I see the ones that they're saying, you know what? It would be better for me to be alone than deal with a woman. And that's MGTOW. It would be better for me to treat a woman as disposable and keep her at arm's length as long as I could so that she wouldn't have access to hurt me, which is like a watered down version of that Andrew Tate, like the early day Andrew Tate, you know, where it's just like, you know, Fresh and Fit and all these other people saying, you know, you need to do this, 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 and this, which... Mm-hmm. There's a root of truth in that. You should focus on being the best man you can be.
Right.
Rather than giving your worth to somebody else for them to validate. Be the type of person who doesn't care if anyone likes them or not. As long as they have a metric of how they act that's rooted in something that's fundamentally true. Even if that truth is uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I am successful and I am in shape, I have a better chance of doing what I want. That is not an opinion. That is quantifiably true. So this passport bro thing is like a reflection of that. It's saying, oh, it's not the woman, it's the country.
Hmm.
Right? And I say, again, I'm kind of repeating that as a symbol, a symptom, because you are starting to see now, oh, the marriage rate is kind of stagnant or declining. Childbearing is getting shaky now, you know, and all of a sudden you're seeing these laws pop up to try to maintain this status quo. Like in Florida, they just got rid of permanent alimony. In Tennessee, they're making paternity fraud a criminal offense. All these things that were that would have 5 years ago been considered impossible to that it would switch that much. Because whoever's at the top is realizing that lower middle class men are the kind of forgotten glue of the country.
Wow.
They're the plumbers. They're the guys who do the electricity. They're the ones who are out on the road fixing potholes. They're the ones who build things.
Yeah.
And it used to be that in this country, you could be one of those people who had a job that may not have paid a lot, but was honorable.
Yeah.
That's because jobs where you work with your hands.
Right.
You know, the vast majority of them are middle, quote unquote, class. You're not going to make $250,000 being a plumber unless you own a plumbing business. But not everybody can own a plumbing business.
True.
So there was the idea that an average, quote unquote, woman could find an average, quote unquote, man. But what's really exploded is intellectual employment. You all ladies are killing that.
Mm.
So it's like, if I'm a plumber or I'm a cop or, you know, I'm an electrician.
Right.
And I make 60 grand a year.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough.
It's not enough
to be respected. I might be able to get a woman.
But keep her.
What are the chances I can get a woman that will respect more than what I make?
Wow.
Jeez.
Because respect matters more than love. Love is like third on the list.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
A man will kill and die is respect, status, and then love. Wow. Or you can say status, respect, and then love. Respect and status are kind of intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
Because respect is interpersonal and status is social. So if I walk in with a beautiful woman on my arm, who's my wife, that gives me status.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But how she treats me in the presence
of others
and treats me personally is going to make me feel respected.
Wow.
If I don't have either one of those two, I'm resigned to my fate, in which case I'm just there. And men are used to being invisible. So we'll just sit there. We know, you know, my sister asked me like the last, what was it, last week or so? She's like, do you get depressed or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you can feel depressed. Mm-hmm. But if you get depressed, you are forgetting that depression is a luxury of those without responsibility.
Oh, say it again. Ooh. Oh.
You see why I'm going to talk to him?
Yes, girl. That's a different way of looking. Wow.
Okay. Okay.
I can feel depressed. I can feel horrible. Mm-hmm. But if I have responsibilities, I have to get up.
Yes.
I can't. Yeah. I can feel horrible.
But you're not. You can't sit in.
But
that
I can't
feeling.
Sit and let how I feel determine what I do. Not as a man, because. Yeah. A woman, your the baseline value that you have as just being a reasonably attractive woman is always going to be more than a reasonably exceptional man. Because we earn our value.
Mm.
You have, at the very least, you have your value. You know, it takes more effort for a guy to maintain a relationship. I'm not talking about like getting a girl, dating or whatever. I'm talking about maintaining the loyalty of a relationship. It takes more effort for a guy to do that than a girl. Not in terms of like what he has to do, but what he has to do to get to the point where he can even approach you. Once you're in the relationship, you know, that's different.
That's different, uh-huh.
But for me to be the type of person you would even go, you know, the effort I have to put in how do I put this? Beyonce could be working at Char Hut and pull Jay-Z.
This is true. You
know, this yes.
is true. I can agree with that. I can, you know what? I can agree Sad. With that.
You know, because she looked like how she looked.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, whereas Jay-Z had to acquire enough assets and enough status and enough
for,
respect
for her to take a second look.
For her to be even like.
For a third look.
And she you was know? Young.
And she was
exactly young.
Years younger.
The height. You could argue, I mean, she has more respect now, mm-hmm. but you could argue she was more popular then, because mm-hmm. every month, every quarter, you had a Beyonce song on the radio. You know, now she's just universal. She's in that, like, you know, where you're past having to sell records.
Mm-hmm.
You can just go on tour and do whatever and sell out like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, you heard her on the radio. Like, when's the last time you heard Beyonce on the radio? Like that. She's like ascended to this other level, but she could be working at freaking Chipotle and told Jay-Z. That's not, you know. Right. So that's kind of what it is. It's one leg of a four-legged beast where, you know, the core of it is that a lot of guys feel like they have no shot and they're like, well, I got one or two options or three options or four options. I can keep going and then, you know, not to throw a little whatever, but ladies can be like real vicious at the club.
Oh, yeah. I've heard and I've witnessed. I've heard and I've witnessed.
You know, it's like, if you're not like, I kind of don't want to say this.
Say it, baby.
That's all right. You know, we keep it real on here and we need to let the people know.
If you are depending on where you go to meet people, if, like, say you go to a bar or a club, go down to a wharf, the better you act, the worse you do, in a way. If you act interested, too interested, you have less play. If you act like, well, you know, well, you're kind of cute. But she kind of cute too.
He ain't lying, y'all.
You know, and, wow. You look all right. But I'm not like, you know, this is what, the more available, the more interested you look, the less desirable you are. Right? That's so crazy. Who does that attract? You are attractive to people who don't think they're attractive to you. So if I come to you and say, oh my God, you're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. Can I get your number, please? You know, I can feel the cringe through the Zoom.
Yeah. Wait, Sean.
One of you, like,
it's all in the way you say it. It's
facts. It's
no, there's no way you can say that.
No,
that's gonna get
not
your
even
response.
A little
like,
bit.
Oh my God, thank you so much. It's not gonna happen.
But you, we don't accept compliments. We could say thank you.
You would accept compliments. You would not accept him.
Oh,
okay. I mean.
It depends
what
on
if,
the energy. Like, I don't
know. What if he's aesthetically pleasing?
Tutu, he ain't lying.
If he's aesthetically pleasing, he doesn't have to do any of that.
Damn.
Wow.
How many really That's aesthetically pleasing people do you know who come up and compliment you in a way that
sounds
makes you feel like you are something different than what they're used to?
It's rare.
I can say you're rare. Beautiful. But if I say, oh my God, you're the only beautiful woman I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's too much. You're putting
that's too
lot.
Much.
That's a lot. Yeah.
But a guy who's aesthetically, that guy in the top. All right. I'll say the guy in the top 10% to 15% of looks and 20 to 30% of looks and status. So maybe he doesn't look as good. But he came here in a Land Rover. He got a nice suit on. Mm. And he looked like he got a nice watch on. Those things, you know, pull into the metric. That guy is going to get the attention of all the women who are on his level, all the women who he would look at, all the women who think they're on his level, and all the women who've been told they're on his level. That's about 75% of the women.
Interesting.
Because on the scale from like 1 to 10, the top 60% is going to go for that 20%. That's naturally what happens. But that means that person has play. So he doesn't have to try all that. He's going to say his one or two lines. He's going to do whatever. And he's going to get play. The difference comes is when you actually want a relationship. You know, your value is not necessarily like a man's ability to attract a date is equivalent to a woman's ability to attract a mate. To attract someone who's saying, I will commit to you. Uh-huh. You can find anybody, you know, you're all lovely ladies. You go to Walmart. You probably get approached 2 or 3 or 4 times. You know,
depends on the city, but yes, you're right. You know.
Not just the city for it.
Definitely in South Florida it happens a lot.
Yeah, it does.
Not so much Orlando, but yeah.
Yeah. You know, but even that's on decline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of, you know, that me too, the kind of like, you know, guys are really afraid of being called a creep.
Okay.
Yeah. You know,
they're really afraid of being put on Instagram for looking at somebody for 2 seconds at the gym.
Mm.
Now I go to the gym. I'm a horse on blindness, man. I go to the bathroom. I change. I go to my weight machine.
You just gotta be focused on why you're there.
Why?
Why? Because you don't know if you're being recorded.
Nowadays I agree, because everything is recorded, and you know, the guy could be minding his business for all he knows, somebody recording him.
You know, you could be halfway across the gym, see somebody, oh, she looked nice, and then they'll zoom in, whatever. You know, there's a fear of reputation loss and status loss that accompanies everything that guys do. So if you're with someone, and that's the perception, that if I'm with this woman, to go back to pivot back to passport bros, I have a less chance of getting respect and status. Because not only is she not going to represent me well, her standard for who she wants is not something I can meet. Especially if I'm 30, 35, because that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking to guys in like that. They're like, look, I'm sorry. Look, you want me to screw you like that dude who ain't got no worth screwed you. Okay. Take you on trips like that dude who only had money. And be this like center rock Christian, you know, great guy who, you know, you want me to be the best parts of all the dudes you've been with. You have to choose. Like, if you all think of the 5 things you want in a guy, and I told you, well, you got to take out 3. What's actually important to you? You know, because you're not going to get all 5. You're going to find, we're all like at this point, like, especially if you're in your late 30s, 40s, and you're single, you're all broken in different ways. Are you broken in a way that I can deal with?
Wow.
That's quiet.
If I'm broken in a way that you can deal with, then we could try to like be broken together and heal each other.
Everybody
broken? Get to that point, it's either you're broken or you're picky, or real, you didn't find.
I get it. It's, you know what, Sean? It's really, really been rough for me with understanding what majority is dealing with when it comes to like caliber of people, because me and the few that I am in close affiliation with, we're pretty much kind of like anomalies in a way. And no one's perfect, but it's just really hard for me to grasp all the trash of women the men have to deal with,
right?
Because that's not us. So it's like, I have to learn from speaking with other men. And then I also learn from, you know, of course, social media, that, you know, and I meet men all the time and they're like, you're probably crazy, aren't you? And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Getting to know you?
Yeah, they won't get to know me because they're so, this is something recent. Mm-hmm. Like a guy is so traumatized from all of the crap women he's been dating that he meets me. He's like, we have a 6-hour conversation on the phone. And he's like, it scares me because I feel like it's too good to be true. Like
because y'all roaming packs.
You said what?
The perception is the good ones and the bad ones roaming packs. So guys are like, I can't tell the difference.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
To start, like, you seem okay, but another girl who was in your friend group because you know.
They hang together.
I'm friends with quite a few. And I was like, why are you with someone
that's
listening to advice from someone?
Right.
Who is not where you're trying to get to.
Ooh.
That person is in a worse, but I don't get it. Guys don't do that. We'll acknowledge that, oh, that dude's my friend. I am not taking advice from that guy. But for whatever reason, it'd be like, oh, my girlfriend, you know, she has more experience at failing. She has more failures than you do.
Oh, Jesus.
She's been with more men.
But she is more experienced, yeah.
Yeah, but if I go up at bat 100 times and I hit the ball 10,
mm-hmm.
and you go up at bat 10 times and hit the ball 5 times, mm-hmm. should you really be taking advice from me? Because I have more experience? Do I have more success?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that will require more accountability, I would
say. Oh, absolutely.
You know, I think that's kind of what my sister was alluding to, this moment where you kind of just have to look at yourself and go,
all right.
Interesting. So, you know, with the explanation and kind of getting a deeper and better understanding of what the Passport Bros was, I was actually searching on the website and looking that they got
They've got merchandise. Yeah,
that's
a real movement.
It's also a grift.
So, here's my one more last thing. So, with everything that you've said, and thank you for breaking it down, like to a better understanding for us. So with Passport Bros and everything we've discussed tonight, is it safe to assume that there is no Passport Sis? Or could that be a thing? Or do you think that would be like the next big thing that happens?
I think that women have always traveled more than men.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
It's just that Black men tend to... Women have always traveled more than Black. It's only like recently that Black men have started traveling as a thing.
Wow.
Women have always like...
That's true.
Yeah.
In this country, Black men are the litmus because white guys follow what Black guys do in terms of, unless they're rural white guys who are anti, they follow whatever the pop culture says, which is usually dominated by Black women and men, they follow. So now that Black men are doing it, it's a thing. White men have been doing it forever.
So let's go travel, bro. Let's get out of here. Let's take a guy's trip. Like, that's what it is now. That is funny.
It's a networking thing as well.
Yeah.
Because the people that are there in Colombia and in Peru and, you know, they hook up and say, hey, you know, I met somebody here. I'm living here. I built my house for $40,000.
Right.
I have my family. You know, I'm working remote, which I think that's the big thing about why I came after the pandemic.
Yeah.
The pandemic kickstarted a lot of that movement. And now people who had intellectual IT jobs or jobs where they could work from a computer and didn't need to be in the office, they pivoted. And you're like, oh, wait, I don't need to be in the office.
Yeah. You know,
I'm hearing from all these other people who were in the military, who moved from before, that, hey, you know, it's better to over here, you know, you can build a house, you know. And then
we definitely met some in Colombia this past May. It's just, you know, they made us a little cringy with the way they were treating
about
talking about the girls. But we did meet some. And
yeah, we did.
They're
from Philadelphia, actually.
Yeah. And they've been living in Colombia for over 2 years.
Yeah, over 2 years. Like, they're not going back. I'm like, they're not going back to Philly, honey.
They are not going
back. They are being spoiled.
Yes.
And that's, I think that's the major difference.
Right.
Major difference is that they're going and staying.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of these countries are now changing their immigration because they want the expats. They want the influx of money. Mm-hmm. So the women know that these guys, because the bare minimum of what they want, like some of the men over there might not be providing. And guys who have been over here, they want, I just want somebody who's not going to make things worse. A lot of the time, like, I just want to know what the rules are. What are the rules?
Yeah.
What's going to piss you off? What's going to not piss you off? Are you okay? Because I can't tell. I can't tell if things are all right because, you know, it could, my friend, he thought his marriage was okay. And then one day she just, you know.
Right.
You know, I don't know what the rules are. Guys are good when you know what, I know what my role is. What's going to make you happy? You know, if you're happy, I'm happy. You know, if you're happy, I have peace. And if I have peace, I'm happy. The metric has kind of changed because we're not incentivized to stay. And you need an outside force. It used to be religion. It used to be a social construct of the community that would force you to consider the full ramifications of my entire community is going to look at me a certain way if I don't make this work. So if I'm going to leave, it better be for a good reason. And not be because, well, you know, he's boring. You know, you need to figure that out. And over in those places, the culture encourages family. Everybody sticks together. So, you know, that's the perception. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. But when I talk to these guys and play ball and whatever, they tell, yeah, some of them do remote work and whatever. I say, yeah. You know, I know a guy who went over there, he met his wife, she's like 15 years younger than them. They've been together for like 8 years. They happy. Because all she wants is a stable life for her children. He can make $3,000 a month and be fine.
And last question. This was a really good, oh my gosh, an amazing segment, Sean. Would you run the passport? Okay, let's remove the term, the terminology of passport bros. Are you in agreement with maybe making a move like the passport bros regarding like finding a foreign woman over like in another country to marry and possibly relocating or bringing her here, either or?
Okay. All right. I wouldn't bring, if I were going to move, I would definitely not bring that woman back. But I would say, I give you like, it's not an isolated thing. Finding a wife in another country is one part. But what's also happening is that there's a degradation of the social services that our parents and our grandparents used to have. Mm-hmm. Like in 15 years, we might not have Social Security.
Yeah.
The retirement age might be 70 or 75.
Right.
Health insurance is going through the roof already. Home insurance is going through the roof already. Definitely. It's like, if you're in your 40s now, do you look in the next 10 years. I know so many people that are in their 50s. They're not retiring here. They're moving to Spain. They're moving to Germany. You know, they're moving to Africa. They're leaving because they're like, my medical bills are going to be like $2,000 a month.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're already in the mindset that you wouldn't even think of leaving. But if you're already have the idea planned because you saw your uncle or your friend or your mentor or whatever, he left and you know, he found a better life. Even if he didn't find a woman, he's having a better time because he can spend the same $100 here that wouldn't even be considered a good date. Man. And have four dates over there.
That is true.
You know,
that is so true.
You know, I mean, $100 used to be like, oh, you spend $100. That's like, now it's just like, you know, that's like a decent meal at Red Lobster. You know, and that's not necessarily considered impressive.
He just broke.
Dang.
Say again?
Jesus Christ.
I said he just broke.
That's true. But you see, that's the thing. That's the thing. You can be broke. Right. But having a certain amount of money used to not be so much tied to your value as a man.
That's
it would be your potential. Ooh, and would you be somebody who would loyally provide? If this is what we got, it used to be as a guy, you come in, you give your check to your wife.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I missed those days.
You know, you give your check to your wife because you're saying, this is what I have.
Yeah.
I'm giving you everything I have.
And she will take it and make a home.
And she will take it and make it work. If I'm giving you everything I have, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sitting on my ass, I'm not whatever, and I'm trying to move up. You know, it might take me 10 years. I know people in my old church, their wives stayed with them. They weren't making any money for 5-10 years.
Oof.
They got their degree eventually because they were doing their degree little by little. And now 10-15 years later, they're together and they're prospering. And his loyalty to her will never fade because we will go and die if we feel respected by the woman we're with. I'd go die to protect that person. I will not go die to protect someone who loves me. Because if you don't respect me, you don't love me in a way that I can quantify.
Hello.
Wow.
If you say, I love you, I love you, I love you. And I say, honey, you wearing that makes, you know.
Ooh.
If I say, hey, you know, maybe like, don't talk to your friends about private matters and put me in a negative light. And I got to hear about this person over here, hearing intimate details because you told that one friend that you know you shouldn't have told. But hey, my friend, you know, because anything you do that diminishes my ability to be respected by my peers damages not only me, damages you. Because everything I do is based on status. I am not going to get promoted if it's known that my woman doesn't respect me. You are the closest one to me. If you don't protect me and represent me, then nobody else is going to. That matters to me more than you saying I love you, because that is the proof that you love. If you love me before you did something, the first thought in your mind is, how is this going to affect my husband?
Right.
How is this going to affect my boyfriend? How is it going to affect, if I say this, even if he's not here, right?
Yeah.
Does this make him better? His status, his ability to be respected, how he's seen? Because a lot of times you're talking to people who know your husband.
Mm-hmm.
You go talk to your girlfriends. I still see them because we hang, you know, they come to the house and whatever. How I'm seen affects my relationship with them. I'm getting weird vibes or whatever. I don't even know why. I don't feel secure. I can't plant my feet. You know? And that matters more than whether you love them. It matters more than sex. It matters more than, you know, respect, status, and loyalty matter more than anything else. If you don't have that, you know,
what do you have?
We don't have anything. And that's basically what it is. It's not that you don't feel like you could find somebody to be with. It's that you don't feel somebody who would respect the effort that you put in, because we are a results-driven nation now. We don't value character. We value results.
Right.
You know, you could be on OnlyFans making a $500,000 a year, and that's more valued than a guy who teaches disabled kids.
Ain't that something?
Well, Sean, this was definitely a really good segment.
Yes, it was.
I am actually
very thorough.
Right, very thorough. And this is what we've been missing. So thank you so much, Sean, for, you know, tuning up, well, you know, sitting in and having and giving your insight and experience with on the matter. We definitely appreciate you. We really hope that you would, you know, come back. Ladies, you guys have any last words about the Passport Bros or anything about the movement of how dating has turned in the past few years here?
I have a better understanding.
I do too.
It's a little saddening. It's sad to, you know, think about why, you know, a lot of men feel they don't get respect here in the westernized world. But I can say I understand.
I do.
I feel for them. But, you know, to the men listening out there, you know, we still have a few anomalies here. Such as ourselves.
Believe it.
We still have a few anomalies out here. And, you know, I would hope that like a lot of them do still feel like they can find love wherever they are.
Absolutely.
Travel for it. But if you feel like you do, you know, no one is judging. No one is thinking about, you know, why are you doing this anymore? Like, I get it. I understand. Find love and find respect where you can get it. That's all I got to say about that.
I agree. All right. Thank you guys for tuning in tonight with Cocktails with Kia and Friends. And until next time.